week, we will be celebrating what is known as Valentine's Day. Now, we knew it was coming. The calendar announced it. For the past several weeks, we have noticed a large display of candy in the local stores, mostly chocolates. Now, candy is always available, but this is a special occasion. So the candy must be presented in a different way. Rather than that usual cellophane wrapper, this candy is lovingly arranged in heart-shaped boxes with red ribbon, bows, and other decoration. The local florist will tell you that this day is a very busy time for them, ranking right up there with Mother's Day. And the restaurants, they have been booked for weeks, catering to those who wish to celebrate the event, dining in the company of their Valentine. Following today's service, we will go downstairs for a Valentine reception. The Board of Trustees has prepared an array of food to commemorate this event. And yes, there will be a special Valentine, an individual that the board will acknowledge for service and dedication to the church. Now, all of this display, the candy, the flowers, the dinner at a favorite restaurant, that event downstairs, all of this is done in the name of love. The poet expresses his love through his poetry, the musician through her music. Love is meant to be expressed, and it can do so in a variety of ways. Yes, we all know about love. And while it is a universal feeling, each of us experiences it in a personal way. Now, when we approach something in a personal way, we tend to be a little selective. When it comes to our ability to show love and appreciation, we find us contemplating who is worthy of such attention. Somehow, some way, the recipient must have earned our affection. Now, the one receiving our approval might be a significant other, a spouse. It might also be our favorite pet or a relative, or perhaps a dear friend or a neighbor. Perhaps it is a co-worker who is supportive and helpful. Love is profound, thoughtful, and considerate. And yes, we wish to extend it to the one that we hold dear. Now, I dare say that most of us have the desire to love and to be loved. When we approach love in a personal way, many times we have opinions concerning how love should come to us. We choose this one or that one, this avenue or the one over there, expecting a show of affection and appreciation. And when it is not forthcoming, we are disappointed, feeling sad that our expectations have not been met. Well, I think it's time for us to decide and notice what it is that we are doing. When we expect certain results from persons, places, or things, we really have no guarantee that the objects of our expectation will be able to fulfill them according to our specification. Or better yet, to even know that we are looking at them in that way. So upon reflection, we could say that it is our expectation that caused our disappointment and not the person, place, or thing. When it comes to love, I do not think it is meant to be limited to certain people, places, or things. True love is not a sentimental attachment to someone or something. Love does not come to us, Love resides in the heart of man, and it is meant to flow from us, bringing joy and elation to all who are willing, able, and open to receive it. And yes, our loved ones, they will be included. Our significant other, the relative, our pet, our neighbor, they will be included. Not because we directed to them, not because we determined they are worthy to receive it. No, they receive it because we allow it to flow freely from us, unrestricted. And when in our presence, they will feel it and receive it. The poet expresses love through his poetry. Now his only desire is to allow it to go from him. He has no opinion concerning who reads it or what they should do with it if they should read it. This is not his concern. He found poetry in his soul, and it will not be denied. The musician expresses love through her music, the artist through his art. And when we allow what is in our heart to come forth, it does so, not tainted by expectation or personal desires and wants and wishes. And I think this is important. When we first discover the activity of love, ego may tempt us to think that we are a loving person, not realizing that it is the love of God that enables us to be loving. Jesus speaks to us of a God of love. And then he gave us but two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now each of us has a particular idea about God. And we have assigned certain qualities to our God. We may have developed our beliefs in the early days of our religious training. For instance, as a child, God may have appeared to us as a stern father, or perhaps as a Santa Claus, assigning gifts according to our behavior. As adults, we involved ourselves in the activity of either blaming God or praising him, depending on the outcome of events. And we did this with just about everything that happened to us. We held God accountable when things did not work out the way we had anticipated. And then we praised God when things just came together, thanking him for doing us a favor or perhaps performing what we considered a miracle. In conversations with God, we kept him outside us, placing him up there in the sky or on a pedestal, always just outside our reach. In our attempt to find God, we may have even studied the Bible. Now, when we begin to read a book, the customary way is to begin in the front of the book, beginning with the first page of the first chapter. So this is what we did in our study of the Bible. And even though we were quite sincere in our search for God, the God that we found in parts of the Old Testament did not bring clarity to our understanding. When we consider God as a stern father, a Santa Claus, as being located someplace up in the sky, or that one that we found in parts of the Old Testament, when we do this, we are forced to admit that this is not a God we could love with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. So then we considered our progress in finding God. we had admitted that we really weren't getting anywhere. It was clear to us that we needed a new approach to our study. Our idea of God was severely lacking in many ways. Considering us as separate and apart from God, we did not realize we could have a personal relationship with Him. In many ways, our search for God is a desire to learn more about us. When we are unsure of whom we are, how is it possible to love our neighbor as ourselves? Yes, it was time to develop a new approach to our study. And so we found us going back to the Bible. But this time we found us in the New Testament. And we read about Jesus. Now, Jesus told us of a God of love. But exactly what did Jesus tell us about His God of love? Well, first of all, He did not claim this God just for Himself. He said, "My Father, your Father. The Father is in His kingdom, and the kingdom is within us." And then Jesus told us about Christ, the only begotten child, and then told us that we are that child. Each and every one of us is the only begotten child of God. But what is the role of a child of God? Exactly what does this child do? Well, there again, we look to Jesus. Jesus said, "What I can do, ye can do also." It is now time to return to our studies and learn what Jesus did so that we may get busy and do what He did. When we discover our spiritual identity, we then accept it for all of mankind. Each and every one of us is the only begotten child of God. Christ is our true name. Divine science speaks of love as belonging to God. Now, when we know us as His child, we may then affirm that love belongs to our nature. Not because we deserve it, certainly not because we have earned it. No, it is ours because we are of God. Nona Brooks used to say, "Fresh from the mind of God each morning." And it is God's love that allows us to love. His love is made manifest as His creation. And since this applies to all mankind, we can now truly say that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, to live in this identity, we must really consciously abide in the awareness that, yes, we are that child, and then do as Jesus did. We are in agreement with this when we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. No strings attached. No misguided expectations about what they should do unto us in return. It is no concern of ours what others say about us, how they treat us, or what they think about us. It really isn't. That's their problem. It's not ours. When we live as God's child, our only purpose is to allow what belongs to that identity to flow from us, blessing all who are ready and able to receive it. Now, when we act as a child of a God of love, we can forgive 70 times 7. Now, I know, this is not easy. Jesus seemed to have been able to do this, but at first, we may have a little trouble doing what Jesus did. Because you see, as human beings, we act in a different way. We hold grudges. We have allowed for hurt feelings. And if we are honest, we admit that we have said or done a few things that may have ruffled a few feathers. And so the act of forgiving also includes our desire to be forgiven. Now, our desire to receive forgiveness, that should allow us to be sensitive to the need to forgive others. Sometimes it does. Other times, well, we're not quite so successful. No, we continue down that path of remembering every unkind thing anybody ever said about us. And then we continue to call up every memory that went with it. Then we relive it, just like it happened yesterday. Before long, we are acting more as a child of humanhood and not as the child of a God of love. So what do we do? Well, first of all, let us not deny or wish away any of the negative stuff that happened to us. Let us just look at it and simply call it what it is. You see, when we live as that child of flesh and blood, we will experience what belongs to a child of flesh and blood. Now, this child comes under those laws of duality, under the laws set in motion by those misguided concepts, those erroneous ideals entertained by the human thought, and then accepted by man. When we live as that child, we may still talk about love, but we are unable to consider it to be universal, and again, we make it personal. We think of us as a loving individual, and then we act as an individual, directing our love to those whom we deem worthy to receive it. We obviously do not yet know that it is the love of God that enables us to be love. To put it mildly, we may act in very unloving ways, perhaps deserving some of the negation that is sent our way. And I think if we're honest, we can relate. When we live as the child of humanhood, we demonstrate what belongs to a child of humanhood. And then again, when we live as a child of a God of love, we demonstrate what belongs to a child of a God of love. As we know, we live in consciousness, and we cannot demonstrate beyond where we are in consciousness. When we act as that child of a God of love, we can say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now, I admit, this is a biggie. Jesus was able to do this, but at first, we might not be able to do what he did. His act of personal surrender occurred in the Garden of Gethsemane. For us, the thing is this. You see, for a very long time, we have busied ourselves, interjecting our personal will into everything we touched. Every decision, every determination had to be made according to our personal will. We thought we knew best. Ego plays a very important part in our ability to step aside and allow God to be God. We can either serve God or man, but we cannot serve both. At some point in the spiritual journey, every knee must bow to the will of God. It is him who hath made us, and not we ourselves, is our gentle reminder. And then we talk about the law of God. Now, as we know, a law enacts or brings into being. When we violate God's law of love, we do so when we desire revenge, or we indulge in resentment, or attribute false ideas and beliefs to those persons, places, and things. When we act in this way, we do not allow the love in us to flow through us. And definitely we are not living as a child of a God of love. When we lack forgiveness, When we fail to treat others as we would like to be treated, it is said that we are violating God's law of love. But on the other hand, when we are one with God's law of love, we live from our highest awareness, seeing as God sees and hearing as God hears. And then those words that come out of our mouth, they are not ours, but of Him who has sent us. When we live as a child of a God of love, we move out of the human sense of love and into the divine. A human sense of life, well, it keeps us stuck, putting our faith and our trust into human beings, into persons, places, and things. And because of the frailty of this existence, they may fail us. What we depended on may fall far short of our expectation. To love our neighbor as ourself does not mean that we love the human flaws and failings. When we look at our fellow man, we do not look in order to love his outer appearance. We do not look at him to notice how well he is dressed. We do not judge him by his wit and his charm. We know these are but the trappings that belong to humanhood. No, we look through him, and we realize that in the midst of him, God is. And because we love the God that lives us and moves us, so too do we love the being that dwells in the soul of our neighbor. When we truly love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, we then become transparencies for God's love to be made manifest on this earth plane. When we do this, we find us saying, "Not my will, but thine be done, O Lord," and we actually mean it. Our consciousness becomes the avenue whereby God's love can find entrance to earth, and God's reign takes place on earth as it is in heaven. And that is how we do as Jesus did. We act as a child of a God of love. This morning we have the opportunity to know us as that child. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the stillness of this moment, we relax our bodies and we close our eyes. There are no distractions, nothing to disturb the mind that is stayed on God. God is in this place, right where I stand. It's holy ground. The promise is turned to me, I will turn to you. And as we turn, we find us in his presence, the presence of his love, joy, harmony, of every good thing. And a grateful heart, it gives recognition. As we rest into ourselves, we are one with his love, joy, and harmony. To stay a moment in this place renews and restores us to our rightful place as his only begotten child. As we begin a new week, we know we are not alone. The love that we feel at this moment, it does not leave us. Let us turn often to this place of inner being and be consciously one with our Father, which art in heaven. We find him there, and all is well. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.